John's Gospel and chapter 15. I want to draw your attention to our text this morning, which is the verse 26 and also part of verse 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness. The greatest witness of all. The greatest preacher in the universe. He shall testify of me. These words and the words about this Comforter that we also read in chapter 16 are words of encouragement to the apostles. They are words to comfort them and to build them up for the days that lie ahead for them. As we saw last week, they need encouragement. God's people always need encouragement. Because it's a wicked world, because there is much opposition, and we saw that the apostles are going to be hated, and the Lord has told them that. So they're going to be hated, they're going to suffer this persecution. Very few are going to receive their word. They're going to be cast out of the synagogues, and even they're going to be murdered and killed. Those are not very encouraging revelations. And so you would understand that people who are going to be told that need strength to face that. And so these are the words that are going to strengthen them. They are going to have one who's going to come to them. They're going to have a witness. They're going to have a preacher, a great preacher. And he's going to be raised up in the midst of them. And he's going to strengthen them in their witness, even though they're going to be killed. So the wicked may silence the apostles. The wicked may cast the preachers out of the synagogues. The wicked may shut their ears and not listen to the preachers and to the apostles. But there is one they cannot silence. And there is one they can never shut up. And that's the Holy Ghost, this Comforter. So the promised witness is the Holy Spirit. You know that. I've said that before. And the Holy Spirit is the greatest preacher in the universe. And the apostles are going to be preachers as well. Ye shall bear witness of me. But the Holy Ghost is the chief. He's the greatest. And here the Lord promises him. And of course, we know that he kept that promise. And the first fulfillment of the promise was in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came and empowered the witnesses. And he's kept that promise for 2,000 years. And in this house today, it's still true. He's still here. This greatest preacher of all is still here. This Comforter testifying to us endlessly of Jesus Christ. So the greatest preacher. And we want to look at our text and see the kind of preacher that he is. To see the kind of witness that the Holy Ghost is. And there are a number of things that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, I hardly need to say it, but in this age of so much error and much apostasy, and even some misunderstandings among the people of God, it is necessary from time to time to remind ourselves of this, that he is a living person. He's a living person. I sometimes hear the people of God pray, and sometimes they refer to the Holy Spirit as a thing. It. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is
a he. He has feelings.
He has attributes. He has abilities and powers. And I have to stress that because the cults, you know, they don't believe in the personality of the Holy Ghost. And they don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. They don't know him. They say that the Holy Spirit is just a metaphor for God's power. It's just God's energy. It's just whenever God does something, they call that his Spirit. That's nonsense. He's from the Father. He's not an attribute of the Father. He's a person. He's a living person. Now the cults, you see, they have to say this. Because if there's one thing about the Holy Spirit, he has divine attributes. And in order to take away them divine attributes from a person, they have to deny his personality. And so they say the third person, to us in the Trinity, is not a person. They don't like the Trinity. They abhor the doctrine of the Trinity. And they reduce the deity of Jesus Christ. They say the Son of God is not God. He has no deity. And so that's how they take the second person out of the Trinity. And then they take the third person out of the Trinity by saying, he has no personality. He is a person. A distinct person. It's clear that he is distinct from the Father and from the Son, because the Son sends him. He says here, I'll send him unto you. And he comes from the Father. I'll send him from the Father. And he proceedeth from the Father. So you can see the distinction of persons. The Son sends him. He comes from the Father. And he comes. It's clear he's not the Son, and it's clear he's not the Father. He has personality. He's able to come. He's able to be sent. He's able to witness. He's able to testify. He's able to speak. Because he has personality. Only a living being can do this. A mere energy or an entity or a thing cannot. I have to stress again his personality. So you see, we have a relationship with him. And we can know him. And as we know him, we can feel the effects in our hearts of this witness, this testifying. So the three persons are equal, and they equally cooperate in the Trinity. You remember at the creation, God said, let us make man. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man. And at redemption, it's the same thing. God says, let us redeem man. And so the Son goes into the world and becomes flesh in days. And the Spirit is sent to change the hearts and to give them faith and to make Jesus Christ a reality to them in his preaching. All of that is part of the Trinity's redemption of us. So he's a person. And you must grasp this, congregation, a living, real person who encounters us in his house, Sabbath by Sabbath, who loves us and who is with us in our witness, even when we are hated, even when we are cast out, he is with us in our witness. Remember this. And when we're hurt, as you're going to be hurt whenever men kill you, when you're hurt, he is there for us. Jesus has promised that. So he is a living preacher. But then secondly, he's a comforting preacher. What does the Lord call him? He could have given him so many names. But in the midst of this situation where he's going to leave his apostles in a world of trouble and tribulation, he calls him the Comforter. That's who he's leaving with us. The Comforter. One who feels. One who knows something about comforting. There are things that comfort us. Things can comfort you, know. A blanket comforts us. A hot water bottle comforts us, doesn't it? In the wintertime, and you've got the flu. But the Holy Spirit is not called a comfort. He's a comforter. Very different. A hot water bottle is a comfort, a blanket is a comfort, but the real comforter is the one who fills a hot water bottle and brings it to you. The Holy Spirit is not a comfort. He's a comforter. And he brings all the comforts to us. He's a wonderfully warm person. He's a wonderfully good person. He's a wonderfully loving person. He's so loving and he's so gracious that the Son of God calls him the Comforter. So he's a person, and he's the one who comes along beside. That's what the idea of the word is. He's the one who comes along beside. He doesn't just send something. He comes along beside with it to bring it to us himself, to give it to us, to tuck us in himself. He's the Comforter. He's the one who comes along beside us to speak to us, to witness to us in his word, to testify to us. He comes alongside us and he preaches to us. That's what he does. He preaches. You know, some people don't like comforted by preaching. Well, that's the only comfort the Holy Spirit does. Preaches. He testifies of me. So he comforts by his testimony, by his words. Now, that's the context, certainly, of the verse. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit is the author of all our comfort. Doctors and hospitals and medicine that brings comfort to us, all of that comes by means of the Holy Ghost. In common grace and in special grace as well. The Holy Spirit is the author of every comfort. But this special comfort to his people, whom Christ redeems by his blood, this is his special ministry, his special comfort for his flock in the witness that he gives about Jesus Christ. In chapter 16, verse 13, we read, "When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself." That's how he comforts. He speaks. But he doesn't speak of himself. "Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he'll show you things to come." He'll speak about things to come. "And he'll glorify me." He'll speak about me. He'll testify of me. So this comforter, he comes along beside us by his word and in his word, and he comforts us. And I have to say, if you don't want his word, you will be comfortless. You will have no comfort. He doesn't comfort us without a Bible. And if you are a comfortless Christian, and maybe you have no comfort this morning, if you have no comfort, child of God, then it is in this area where you need to do some self-examination. And you need to ask yourself, am I letting the Holy Spirit come along beside me? Am I spending time in his word and letting him testify to me about Christ? Am I attending the Holy Spirit's ministry? Are you sitting down and spending time with the Holy Ghost and His Word? And do you come along to this house with that intention? To receive the ministry of the Holy Ghost through His Word? Or are you just looking to a man to have made up something in the mixer that will do you good? You need to look to the Holy Ghost. You need a preacher in whom is the Holy Spirit's ministry. And so if you have no comfort, child of God, you have to ask about your relationship with the Holy Ghost. Perhaps you're grieving Him. Perhaps you've chased Him away. Perhaps you've closed His book and you're not reading it. Perhaps you've little interest in it. It's no wonder you have no comfort. You can go to the doctor and get all the pills you like. They'll not give you comfort. It's this book is the comfort. But only this book in the hands of the Comforter. You despise one, you despise the other. So if you have no comfort, it's in those areas that we have to examine ourselves. And we have to sit down and we have to reflect. We have to spend time with the Spirit of the Lord. It's not about being busy. It's not about all movement and activity. The church is not endless business. The church is rest and Sabbath and stillness. To listen to the Comforter. You know, there are some people that are so busy in the church, they're not spending time listening to the Comforter. There are some churches where people are worked off their feet with meetings and suppers and this and that and the other. Busyness is not godliness. And the church shouldn't be turned into a factory of activity. The church is a place of rest and stillness and worship. To listen to this still small voice, the Comforter speaking in His Word. And you might be very busy, child of God. And I'm not running down busyness. But don't be so busy as you don't spend time with the Lord. So He's a Comforter, and He's a sent preacher, because it's always true, how can they preach except to be sent? And this is true of the greatest preacher of all. I will send Him unto you. The Holy Ghost is the sent one. He has a commission. He's sent by the Son of God. Our dear Lord has commissioned Him Himself. And if I may say it reverently, the Father sent the Son and the Son sent the Spirit. Now, we can't understand that. There's a mystery about all of that. One divine person sending another divine person. But one thing is clear. The Holy Spirit was sent. And the Holy Spirit has come. And the Holy Spirit will faithfully fulfill His commission. He's the only preacher who will 100% fulfill his commission. He'll not fail. And so the Lord Jesus refers to this several times in this farewell discourse, continually reminds us, I'll send Him, He's coming, He's sent. So one thing is clear then, He will carry out His commission. And He has been doing that for 2,000 years, and He's doing that today, and in this house now, that's what we're looking Him to do. We're looking Him to do this preaching, this comforting, this testifying work. Then fourthly, He is an invisible preacher. He is the only preacher who can preach, and you don't see Him. He is the only preacher who can preach, and you don't hear Him in regard to molecules of air moving. He preaches in the heart. He preaches without vibrating the air. And he preaches though he is invisible. He's the Spirit of truth. He has no bodily parts. You see, the Spirit did not come like the Son of God came. The Son of God's coming was a manifestation. He was manifested. He took flesh. He could be seen. He could say, look, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He's visible, the Son of God, because he was incarnate. And even today he's visible at the right hand of the glory in heaven. The angels see him. It's a wonder to them that a divine person is manifested. He can be seen. He's visible. But this Comforter will not be seen. He talked about in chapter 14 about the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And why can it not receive him? Because it seeth him not. Doesn't see him. And we don't see him either. But we know him. And that's the difference. The world doesn't receive him because it doesn't see him. But you receive him because you know him. You have a relationship with him. People of God, we have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. He's the one who tells us that's not right. He's the one who tells us that now there's something not right in your heart and that's not right. He's the one who does that because we have a relationship with him. He's the one who tells us, oh, you shouldn't feel down like that. And you shouldn't let the devil bring up those sins like that because they're under the blood. And Christ hath died. Yeah, rather he's risen and up there he's interceding for you. We have a relationship with him. It's not about his visibility. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goes. You can't see it. You can't predict it. So is everyone that is worked upon by the Holy Ghost. His effects are felt, but he himself cannot be seen. So he's an invisible preacher. And he's a true and a faithful and a truthful preacher, because it says, the Spirit of truth. He is identified with the truth. His witness is only about truth. He's faithful. He's true. He's not a spirit of lies and falsehood and error. No, he's a spirit of truth and light. Of honesty. He's a faithful witness. And he is an infallible witness as well. And he's a witness who uses his word and who gives his word. You know, we can only know revealed truth by the witness of words. And this Spirit must give us the words of truth. If we are to understand and perceive truth, and that's why we got our Bible. Because the Spirit of truth give us the words of truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. And he gave us this Bible. And he guides us into all truth in this Bible. And so he is a preacher of truth. And himself faithful. And only tells us the truth, even when it hurts us, even when it convicts us. You know, some people just want a preacher who'll wrap them all up no matter about anything. A preacher who doesn't disturb, who doesn't convict. Oh, people of God, we need to be convicted. We need to feel the hurt, so that we can be truly bound up with the comfort of God and not with false comfort. He is a divine witness. That's why the Holy Spirit adds, which proceedeth from the Father. Why does the Lord tell us about the procession of the Spirit from the Father? Some people think it's just a repetition of the idea, I'll send him unto you from the Father. And then he just repeats that idea which proceedeth from the Father. No such thing. It's not a repetition of the same idea. It's a completely different thing. His procession from the Father. He sent from the Father, but this procession from the Father is different. You see, the Lord Jesus is telling us something about the Spirit of Truth. He's telling his disciples, he's not a creature. He proceedeth from the Father. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, I came from the Father. Christ came from the Father by being begotten. He's the Son of God, the only begotten, the begotten of the Father. How does the Spirit of God relate to the Father? He's the Spirit of God, the Spirit from God. How is his relationship to the Father described in the Bible? Well, usually he's called the Spirit of God. But the Lord Jesus is giving us a wee bit more of a definition. He proceedeth from the Father. And so what he's telling his apostles is he's not a creature. He's not an angel coming from the throne, sent from the Father. No, he is the Comforter who proceedeth from the Father. And this is an eternal procession. It's not a once-off thing. This is an eternal procession. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit proceeding from God. He's the Spirit distinct from the Father, yet coming from the... Now, we can't understand all of this means. What is the procession of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. What is the beginning of the Son of God? I don't know. But there are eternal relationships in the Godhead. The Father is unbegotten, but he eternally begets. And the Son is eternally begotten. And the Spirit eternally proceedeth from the Father. The Eastern Church and the Western Church in the early history of the Church, they divided on this matter. Because the Eastern Church taught he just proceeds eternally from the Father. But the Western Church said, no, that's not right. If you study the rest of the Scriptures, yes, just looking at it here, he just seems to proceed from the Father. But if you study the rest of the Scriptures, you'll see that he's also the Spirit of the Son. And the Son sends him too. And therefore he must proceed also from the Son as well as the Father. Now, we don't understand what all of this means, but this is what the Bible has revealed. There are these relationships in the Godhead. How is the Father different from the Son, if they're equal? The Son is begotten and the Father is unbegotten. The Father begets and the Son is begotten by the Father. That's all we know the difference. And similarly, now we're getting into deep things and I don't want to go off into the doctrine of the Trinity, but what Jesus is saying here is, he's a divine person. They'll not cast him out of the synagogue. They'll not kill him. They'll not shut him up and bind him. And they'll not stop him comforting you, my disciples, when you get it tough. He proceeds from the Father. He's a divine person. We must move on. He's a Christ-centered preacher. He shall testify of me. In chapter 16 he says, he shall glorify me. He says, he shall take of mine the things about me. He'll take of mine my glory, my person, my words, what I am. He'll take of mine and I'll show it to you. He comes and preaches Christ. He comes and shows us Christ. He comes and shows us and glorifies in our midst the Son of God. That's what he does. That's how he comforts us. And there's no doubt about it. He shall. He shall. He shall testify of me. And from that task, he will not be diverted. What does the greatest preacher in the universe preach about? He preaches about the Son of God. He is the most Christ-centered preacher in the creation. And that's why the Christian church knows who Jesus Christ is. Has the Christian church got its doctrine and theology of the person and work of Christ all wrong? No, we haven't. And you know why we haven't? Because Jesus promised us the Spirit of truth to keep us right. And that's why we have the doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine of the person of the Son of God and the true doctrine of his sacrificial atoning work understood by us, because this Holy Ghost has been preaching it to us down the centuries. We haven't got it wrong. The Holy Spirit knows who Christ is. The Holy Spirit made the humanity for our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit equipped the humanity of Jesus Christ throughout his mission on the earth. The Holy Spirit understands what the cross was all about. He understands all that is going on in that middle tree at Calvary. And he gives us understanding through his words of the New Testament. And that's how the Holy Spirit comforts a hated, persecuted church. By coming among us and maintaining the truth among us and revealing Christ to us and helping us to get a glimpse of the Son of God. That's how he lifts you up, child of God. Are you discouraged today? Are you comfortless? You need a glimpse of a glimpse of him that's been given to you by the Holy Ghost. You need to hear his testimony concerning your Savior. And I tell you, when you receive it, all the men in the world can hate you and persecute you. But I tell you this, you'll smile in the storm because of this beautiful, wonderful person. The Holy Ghost. And so, to get this testimony about Christ is this congregation's greatest need. It's your greatest need. You're going to die someday. You're going to be on a deathbed soon. Your greatest need is to have been built up and comforted concerning the Son of God. That's your greatest need. Nothing else will do us. Nothing else will encourage us. Nothing else will help us in the devil's assault but a Holy Spirit sermon to our hearts about our Lord Jesus Christ. We always need a Christ-centered word in this house. And then lastly, and I need not labor on it, he makes us and empowers us to be witnesses. Verse 27 must not be detached from this promise. And you also shall witness. When you get a good Holy Spirit sermon in your heart, when you get a glimpse of Christ from his own preaching by the Spirit, you'll bear witness of me. And so the Spirit will make us an enduring witness. Even when they cast us out, Even whenever some people who think they'll be doing God service when they kill us off, with this fire in your heart, you'll still bear witness of me in the midst of it all. And so, brethren and sisters, and especially comfortless Christians this morning, this is something that you must seek. This is something you must pray about. Oh, Lord, give me the Comforter. As I spend time in your word, Lord, let me see a glimpse of Jesus. And let me be like the holy apostles. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.